From the City of Angels, near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Happy Victoria Day to our Canadian neighbors, by the way. And later tonight, UFO disclosure. Here's what's happening. This time last year, the mainstream media largely dismissed the Wuhan coronavirus lab leak theory as fringe or conspiracy. But now, with Dr. Anthony Fauci becoming the latest leading figure to question the origins of COVID-19, outlets are increasingly treating it as a serious possibility. And listen to this one. Three researchers from China's Wuhan Institute of Virology became sick enough in November of 2019 that they sought hospital care, according to a previously undisclosed U.S. intelligence report that would add weight to the growing calls for a fuller probe of whether the COVID-19 virus may have escaped from the laboratory. The details of the reporting go beyond a State Department fact sheet issued some time ago. The disclosure of the number of researchers, the timing of their illnesses, and their hospital visits come on the eve of a meeting of the World Health Organization's decision-making body, which is expected to discuss the next phase of an investigation into COVID-19's origin. You might remember, those of you who are regular listeners to the program, back in December of 2019, when we first started hearing about COVID-19, that it was coming from a lab, from a meat market, I said it was related to the laboratory. Exact words. The Tokyo Olympics postponed in 2020. During the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic, facing increasing hurdles now in putting on a 2021 show, the latest troubling sign for the Summer Olympics, when the State Department advised U.S. citizens against traveling to Japan because of a sharp increase in COVID-19 cases there. Chip makers are raising prices amid the global chip shortage. 10 to 50% they are raising prices. Let's check in with our expert, Lauren Weinstein, on this. Why the shortage of chips, first of all, Lauren? Is it because of COVID? No, Lauren Weinstein, huh? Lauren, you there? Nope, he's not. Okay, well, there's a shortage of chips, and that's causing all kinds of problems, folks, all over the place. A new study finds that milk isn't just good for your bones, it's also doing plenty for your heart, too. An international team finds drinking milk regularly can significantly drop the chances of suffering from heart disease by 14%. Bob Dylan, the American music legend, is 80 years old. Happy birthday, Mr. Dylan. What else is going on in the skies these days? Let's check in with Dr. Sky, Stephen Cates. Stephen, what do you got for us? Well, we might have some technical problems here, folks. Stephen, you there? Nope. Okay, well, we will be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with Dr. Jerome Corsi talking about bitcoins. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We apologize for losing our two news guests, but we shall see. In the past 2 weeks, approximately $1 trillion in capital has been wiped out in the cryptocurrency sell-off, prompted by Elon Musk's comments that Tesla was backing off using bitcoins to sell its cars. In a 10-part series of podcasts, Dr. Jerome Corsi has been predicting increased volatility with the cryptocurrency market. Here he is, Dr. Corsi. Welcome back, Jerry. How are you?
I'm great, George. Great to be back with you.
You
too. Thank you very much.
How many books do you have out now?
George, I've written 25 books since 2004. And today I just signed a new contract to do a book on energy, future of energy. My Black Gold Stranglehold book, which I did in 2005 on abiotic oil, has been put into paperback. It just got reissued. And you'll recall, George, I was on your show in 2005 and 2006 debating about abiotic oil, the peak oil crowd that were saying we're going to run out of oil. And we've been at this topic for a long time. And I'm really excited about the new website, CorsteT, CORSTET.com. And I'm also excited about cryptocurrencies, despite the recent sell-off.
Let's talk about cryptos. First of all, when did they all start? How did this happen?
It happened really in the last few years. The idea was that since we're moving to fiat currency, and Fiat currency is really defined by you cannot redeem dollars today in gold or silver. They're basically just the full faith and credit of the United States. They're essentially just paper or coins or digital. And the idea came about, well, why couldn't private groups create their own, as it were, digital coins, simply, you know, creating a money that would be invested in by private individuals, and it's valued by the number of people who want to buy a cryptocurrency like Bitcoin or some of the various others. There's many now. And again, there's both problems and benefits. There's nothing behind the cryptocurrencies except people want to buy them. But then again, there's nothing behind the dollar except the federal government issues it. We need dollars to pay taxes. And again, it cannot be redeemed in anything of real tangible value like gold or silver, either cryptocurrency or any form of the U.S. dollar.
Oh, I hear that the cryptos, Bitcoin especially, started with someone in Japan. Is that true?
Well, there was an article written by someone with a Japanese name. That could be a pseudoname. There was actually an article about cryptocurrency. I don't remember the exact year, but just recently. And that triggered the whole development. At first, the idea was pretty out there, that you could just create a currency. And then Bitcoin began to take off and began to, it's now got about a $600 billion capitalization. And Ethereum, the number two of the cryptocurrencies, has about a $200 billion capitalization. So these are now really significant economic events, and they're drawing government attention. But the concept has been proven that the governments can create money without any gold or silver backing it, which is traditionally not the way money has been created, well, then there's no reason why private individuals can't create a currency. And now increasingly, cryptocurrency can be used in purchases. It's traded on exchanges. It's really an international event. And it gives people the ability to have a decentralized creation of money. In other words, it's not just the central government in control. And that appeals to many people. And there's a certain anonymity on it because it's traded with numbers identifying who you are. And it's got a very powerful technology behind it in terms of the blockchain, which we'll discuss. But I think cryptocurrency is a brilliant idea. And I really am very enthusiastic that it has a future, provided the governments allow it to continue existing.
What is China doing? They're trying to create their own currency for the world market, aren't they?
China, yes. China has created its own digital currency issued by the central bank. And at the same time, in the last really 10 days, China has cracked down, began very heavily regulating cryptocurrency use in China. And Binance, one of the largest of the exchanges, which is essentially a Chinese company. Binance.com is the Chinese version. Binance.us is the U.S. version. And the Chinese are essentially trying to put it out of business, I think. The Chinese government, along with, I suspect, other sovereign governments, do not like the idea that private individuals or these groups of private individuals can create their own currencies. And the currencies can compete with the Chinese yuan or the U.S. dollar. And from my point of view, I think it's very interesting to see currencies being developed and used by a decentralized source, not dependent on governments.
And Jerry, it's volatile, though, isn't it? It's extremely volatile. Look what happened last week.
Well, George, in the last 10 days, really, maybe 2 weeks, the total valuation of the cryptocurrency market was about $2 trillion just about the middle of last month. Now, within the last 2 weeks, it's lost over $1 trillion worth of value. So Bitcoin, which was trading at over $64,000 per individual Bitcoin, has now traded as low as $30 a Bitcoin, which is more than half of its value gone. Now, again, that bounces around from day to day, but it is an extremely volatile market, and it's a new market. So I've advised people, if they're going to invest in Bitcoin or any other cryptocurrency, to, you know, only do it with as much money as they can afford to lose. You don't want to be up every night, middle of the night, worrying that you've lost your entire retirement savings. That Bitcoins are not for that type of investment. They're for people who have some money, want the idea of speculation. Younger investors are flocking to it because it's very much dependent on the internet. It's very much dependent on computers, and it's a kind of new age idea. I think it's got a future, but you better be able to take the roller coaster, because I don't see the volatility ending anytime near soon.
What is fueling its growth right now?
I think the idea of, certainly the idea of how quickly it's appreciated. In other words, there's over 100 different forms of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrency is a generic term. Bitcoin is one particular cryptocurrency. And you can buy them initially at pennies. You know, you could buy the initial Bitcoin, if you were in on the beginning, for very, very little money per Bitcoin. And then the appreciation, let's say you buy a cryptocurrency for, you know, 2 or 3 cents per crypto coin, and it goes from 2 cents to 4 cents. Well, you could have doubled your money.
What if it goes from 2 cents to 50,000?
Well, I mean, that's where people can dream that they will become very, very wealthy by the appreciation, getting in early on a cryptocurrency. And that's very appealing. It's also an opportunity for scams and scam artists. And it's a buyer beware market right now because it's completely unregulated, although that's changing rapidly. In the last 2 weeks, the U.S. government has come in, as well as the Chinese government. We now have the Department of Justice, we have the IRS, we have the SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission. I would say there's a number of government agencies in the U.S. bureaucracy that are looking very strongly to regulate cryptocurrencies, and I don't think it will be an unregulated market for long.
I had heard a story that somebody got involved with Bitcoin in the beginning but lost his password, and in so doing, could not access his account and lost billions. Is that true?
Well, there's an apocryphal story, kind of, you know, it has happened, and maybe it happened to one individual, but you get an identifier of who you are when you buy a cryptocurrency, or your basic cryptocurrency identifier, which is a string of numbers and letters, very long string, 150 numbers and letters or whatever, and you've got to keep that in a secure place. If you lose that, there's no way to re-enter the system and find your account, because there's no way to really computer generate that kind of a random sequence. So you've got to know who you are by locking away, hopefully not. The story was someone had it in a computer, then they cleaned up the computer and erased some drives, and they lost their number identifier for their cryptocurrency, so they couldn't access the account. And the story goes they bought the cryptocurrency at very, very little money, and it appreciated to a great deal of money, and they couldn't find it. So they lost millions. That's how the story goes. But the truth is you've got to keep your number identifiers very secure, because it's really the only way you're going to be identified. It's not by names. You may have to use your Social Security number and other identifiers of conventional ID to be able to buy cryptocurrency, but once you've bought it, you're only identified through this random number that's generated for you.
We're with Dr. Jerome Corsi. His new website is, pronounce that again, is it Corstet?
Corstet, yes. It's my wife and I have created it. Monica is actually the CEO, and it was Monica Stettner Corsi and Jerome Corsi, so it's Corstet, Corstet.com. And we've been focusing on telemedicine, doing a lot on telemd, gold and silver, which I've been doing for about 25 years, and annuities. And then we've been doing podcasts daily, really commenting on events very analytically going on today in economics and politics.
That's amazing what's happening. Why did Elon Musk jump in and then jump out?
He's been very kind of mercurial about this. Elon Musk originally came in very enthusiastic about Bitcoin. He put $1.5 billion into Bitcoin, and everybody that started a huge run up of Bitcoin. And then he's been doing some Saturday Night Live appearances. He first ridiculed this doggy coin. And then he said, well, no, he's going to not accept Bitcoin for purchases of Tesla because it costs too much electricity to do the mining of Bitcoin, which is a very technical thing to validate the different transactions. You have to have these big banks of supercomputers, and they use a lot of electricity, whereas the methodology to validate the trades to mine with Dogecoin is much simpler. And it uses less electricity. So because Tesla's into electric cars, they did not want to have Musk supporting a cryptocurrency that was very energy intensive in its use. The electricity largely still generated by coal. And again, that was becoming embarrassing, for Musk, who has a Tesla electric car. So he backed off Bitcoin. And then that tanked Bitcoin, but it also propped up Dogecoin, which was originally started as a joke, starting with one of the viral Musks of a dog that was going around several years ago, and they created Dogecoin to ridicule the idea that anyone could create a cryptocurrency out of nothing.
Well, since Nixon took us off the gold standard years ago, we've had what is called a fiat money system, as you were making reference to. There was nothing really backing our money right now, and there's the same with bitcoins.
Well, that's correct, and I think that's really one of the reasons I think cryptocurrencies came on the scene, is that there's a recognition that the dollar, which, and by the way, inflation, measured by the Consumer Price Index, is something like increased about 560% since 1971. When we went off the gold standard. You can't redeem a dollar for gold and silver today. You used to be able to do that prior to 1971. But the dollar is appreciated less. I mean, today, gold is appreciated something like 1,400%. I mean, there's much more appreciation of gold. Gold, when we went off the gold standard in 1971, was $35 an ounce. And today it's trading around $1,800 an ounce. It was as high as about $2,000 an ounce at the end of 2020. And so the appreciation of gold has been tremendous once we didn't cap by government dictates the price of gold at $35 an ounce, which was critical to the dollar being pegged gold. And today it's just not. It's just completely made up, as it were. And that's why this modern monetary theory, which we'll discuss, which is a completely embracing fiat currency, the idea that we're a sovereign nation, so we can have as much government debt as we want. We could always print more money to pay the debt. And that's the current rage in the progressive thinking, and it is the policy of the Federal Reserve and the Treasury right now to embrace this modern monetary theory, which is one of the reasons we've seen the Biden administration produce what's going to be this year about $7 trillion in surplus spending, which is remarkable in terms of classical economics, which would say this is dangerous. Modern monetary theory says there's nothing wrong with it as long as we have sufficient taxation to take demand out of the economy, not to produce hyperinflation.
Jerry, how important...
George, yes.
This is weird times, Jerry.
you've got strange communications going on today, George.
Strange times. Well, our engineer is taking care of things. Well, Jerry, we're gonna come back with you in a moment on Coast to Coast and see what we can do with this thing. We'll just disconnect that phone, and it's attacking the studio. But we'll be back in a moment with Jerry Corsi on Coast to Coast AM. Wow. We're talking cryptocurrency with Dr. Jerome Corsi, and we will take calls next hour here. If you're into cryptos, definitely jump on board. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Dr. Jerome Corsi. His new website is corstet.com, C-O-R-S-T-E-T.com. We're talking about Bitcoins. We're going to take your calls next hour. If you're into this, jump on board. And as you were saying, this is not for the faint at heart, is it?
It's not, George. I think, again, people who think they're going to get rich quick, and clearly there have been opportunities to do that in the cryptocurrency market because the cryptocurrencies, each brand starts out very low, pennies for a coin, and then they can appreciate, you know, go from 2 cents to 4 cents, it's, you know, you've doubled your money. And they go from 2 cents to a dollar or $100 or $1,000. Well, again, these get people to think, well, we could get really rich here pretty fast. It's also a way to lose your money because we've just seen half of the capitalization, $1 trillion, be taken out of the cryptocurrency market by sell-offs. So it's a very much of a roller coaster. I advise people to go into cryptocurrency with money you can afford to lose. Don't put your retirement money into cryptocurrencies. It's too new, too speculative. But I'm very enthusiastic about them, George. I think the logic is good, and I think there's a future here, provided the governments allow cryptocurrencies to thrive and continue to exist.
Could it get stronger if governments decide to back it up?
Well, it could. But what we're seeing, what I'm seeing is that, for instance, China has developed its own now central bank digital currency. And China's looking at going into utilizing various technologies from cryptocurrency. But they're even looking at a quantum financial system where China would essentially dominate or try to dominate the future currency markets, even supplanting the U.S. dollar in world trade. The dollar right now is the standard for international world trade, and China, with this quantum financial system, actually using quantum computing and many of the technologies from cryptocurrency in a completely digital currency, even want to replace the SWIFT system, which is a international monetary wire transfer system that's used by banks. It's out of Switzerland, and basically the system for SWIFT is become the world standard. China wants to supplant it with their own international system, which they have begun to put into place with countries who are using the yuan as their international trade standard. China really wants to replace the dollar, and they're making moves to do it. And in the process, China does not want competitive currencies being run by individuals, so they're restricting in China the ability to own or to trade cryptocurrencies. And I see the U.S. government now beginning to move in with the Department of Justice, the IRS, Securities Exchange Commission. Within the last 2 weeks, a number of big announcements. The Federal Trade Commission has created a whole part of their website on cryptocurrency scams. The government interventions are on the way, and I'm waiting to see whether that's going to allow the cryptocurrency market to thrive or they're going to attempt to throttle it. I think the battle is going to be between the fiat currency dollar and cryptocurrencies, which I think are on pretty much of the same standard, and the governments are not going to want to share with others the ability to create money.
China would love to replace the U.S. dollar, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, George, absolutely. It's been an ambition of China for the past 25 years, and China is making great strides in that direction. China, with Huawei, has really controlled a lot of the 5G networks worldwide, and China now is moving to advance the quantum computing. I think China is ahead of most of the rest of the world on quantum computers. It's going to be the next revolution in computer technology, and it's going to revolutionize the whole idea of how calculations are done, et cetera, with introducing really relativity theory into the ability to calculate and solve various kinds of very complex mathematical problems. And China will want to create a central bank digital currency, which it's done, and to have that become the standard of use in China and worldwide for international trade. China is fully on board with eliminating paper currency and eliminating coins. For as far as China is concerned, the world will be on digital currency, and the United States is going along this model, too. We're just lagging behind China at the moment.
They want to do away with cash, don't they?
Yes, they do. And one of the things I've been raising as an issue is what's going to happen with the drug economy. I mean, the cartels run on cash. And if cash is eliminated, what's going to happen with drugs? Are we going to have legalized drugs? Is that the next step? But certainly a cashless society in terms of no bills being printed, no coins being circulated, everything being digital, will make it much more difficult to transact illegal drug transactions. And, you know, right now money laundering is a huge business because you can't operate a drug cartel driving around semi-trucks full of cash. You got to get it into the banking system to make it usable. And money laundering is a huge business right now today. And many of the major international banks have one way or another participated in it, and many caught and paying huge fines for it. But the anti-money laundering statutes will be buttressed and reinforced by going to eliminate cash and going to a completely digital currency, and we're headed in that direction.
Well, technology is changing everything, Jerry. Look what it's done to newspapers, for example. It's just about wiped them out.
Completely, George. You know, I reflect even the 2000.com crash. Many of the things that were crashing in that era are today becoming standard. I mean, look at how much Amazon has changed the book industry. Today, Amazon is responsible for a huge percentage of book publishing and is a dominant factor. And, it used to take this, something I know having written so many books, it used to take a large number of books to be a bestseller. Well, today, the numbers of actual printed books sold has diminished dramatically. And so, I signed a contract today to do a new book on energy. And I'm expecting I'll do, with both the digital form and the audiobook form, that'll be, I want to write more of a definitive book on abiotic oil and how energy is going to develop into the future. And I think it'll be an enduring book, but I think it's going to be mostly not printed. I don't think as many people are going to get a printed copy. It's why on Corset.com I'm actually selling off all my author copies, and I think they'll be collector's items with a signature.
They just might be.
They may be.
And this new book's out next year, isn't it?
It'll be out next year, that's right. And if you go to Corset, Corstet.com, I've got free e-books, which I'm also doing. I've got one on gold and silver. I've got one on COVID-19. We've done very well with the telemed program, and we've been able to legally supply. The doctors recommend anything from hydroxychloroquine to ivermectin, even for prevention, various medications for COVID. And we've done extremely well with that program. And we'll be introducing Hispanic tele-MD within the next month.
Did you hear my story earlier, Jerry? Three people in that Wuhan lab got very sick before COVID even got out worldwide.
I did, George. I'm beginning to see a lot of articles surface on the whole idea of whether or not COVID was produced in a lab. Certainly at the end of last year, that topic was forbidden. That was really...
And I said it back in December of 2019, remember?
You're one of the very first to say that this was lab-created. And I'm seeing more and more every day creeping into the press that is suggesting that the Wuhan lab and possibly U.S. involvement through, Dr. Fauci and the CDC and the NIH have been involved in funding some of these projects. And I think there's a lot to come out there. Again, I think it'll take time for that all to develop because the politics today are just so intense. So riddled with, problems in terms of free press. I think it's going to take a while for that story to develop. But, George, I think, the whole idea of COVID is going to be with us for a while. I don't see it going away. I myself got COVID family got COVID.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yep, we did. I just had a recent blood test. Now I've got all the antibodies. And they're saying, well, I shouldn't take the vaccine, maybe for 3 months or maybe never, because I've already got the antibodies. But I did take the hydroxychloroquine and zinc and azithromycin regimen, and it really did make a difference in my case. And again, you can legally prescribe that as long as the doctor is off-label prescribing hydroxychloroquine. And it's been hard to get. It's one of the reasons the Corstet.com telemed program has done so well.
Good for you.
That's going to be, I think, part of the future of what I'm planning to develop. But, George, cryptocurrency was unthinkable before the Internet and before the advances in computer technology.
Do you think that if we go all digital, that we're going to get chipped?
Well, George, I think these are the kinds of things that are in the future. That's one of the reasons I'm taking a more analytic approach. This whole idea of a reset, which is, you know, the global community is looking at a reset, is both moving in a direction of more progressive policies being implemented, but also a more digital society, which has the potential for more authoritarian control. And a digital world will have the ability to monitor every single transaction you do, whereas in a cash world, you know, the cash could be monitored as in, you know, large numbers. It could be in a macro sense, but individually, cash transactions weren't individually monitored. And so, therefore, we're going to lose some anonymity once we move to a digital society. And I think cryptocurrencies are trying to reintroduce the anonymity because you're identified by a number. And so you can have your cryptocurrency and transact it without the other party knowing precisely who you are in terms of name or ID or other identifiers. And that's why the mining is so important, because the miners are, they're not out there with picks and shovels. They're validating the authenticity of the individual transactions in the blockchain or in other forms of transacting cryptocurrency. But there's anonymity in cryptocurrency, and that's another reason I think the governments may resist it. I think the biggest threat to cryptocurrencies right now is government regulation. And we're going to fight that battle. That battle's actually been started within the last 2 weeks.
When Bitcoin first came out, it was just pennies, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And, of course, Bitcoin is a particular cryptocurrency. It's not the generic term. The generic term is cryptocurrency. Bitcoin is a brand. Like Ethereum is a brand. Like Dogecoin is a brand. And there are maybe 125 different cryptocurrencies out there right now, and some of them are still being sold for pennies. So there are opportunities if you want to make a bet on a unknown cryptocurrency that it will advance. There's still the potential to get in very cheaply. But even if you want to get into Bitcoin, which has sold for as much as over $64,000 per Bitcoin, you know, it started out at pennies. Today, it's being traded at about $30 a Bitcoin. It's lost that much of its value. It still remains very volatile. And so, therefore, you know, again, how you want to play this market, I think younger people, more computer savvy, are trying to get in at the early stages where they can have greater chance of appreciation, even if, you know, Bitcoin loses half of its value from $64,000 to $30,000. Someone who bought a cryptocurrency, a new one at 5 cents and it went to 10 cents, they've doubled their money. And it takes some sophistication to play the cryptocurrency market and gain. And there are many scams out there. There's 1,000% increase in the reported scams in the last year. So the market has become a very aggressive market. Con artists have also entered into it to see if they can take their share. And so I recommend people take some time to learn Bitcoins and go in it cautiously to begin with until you really know what you're doing. Maybe a few $100 invested in it to learn it is not a bad idea. But putting your retirement savings into cryptocurrency is something I would not advise.
No, and a lot of people at this point, with Bitcoin selling where it is, they can't even afford to get in there.
Well, or if people buy pieces of bitcoins, and there's ways to do that on the exchanges, because see, the market is developed where there are exchanges like Binance, other exchanges, where you can trade your cryptocurrencies very much like you trade dollars versus euros or other currencies. There's become a market in trading cryptocurrencies as well as using them to purchase things. And increasingly, many of the payment systems are accepting now cryptocurrencies as payment mechanisms. And again, that's drawn the government attention because this competes with the dollar. And if you're a sovereign nation, you want to have exclusive control over money. Cryptocurrencies mean that the government no longer has exclusive control over creating money. And that's threatening to a government like China or to the United States. And the regulators are taking a hard look at it and talking about creating their own central bank-created digital currencies. So this is the beginning of a new world, George. And the same with the modern monetary theory, which says we can have as much surplus debt as we want without it necessarily being negative, because in fiat currency, we can always print more money to pay off the debt.
Absolutely.
And it's not wrong.
With Dr. Jerome Corsi, his website, Corstet.com, Corstet.com, linked up with his name at coasttocoastam.com. We're going to come back in just a moment and take phone calls with Dr. Corsi. If you're into Bitcoin or crypto, give us a call. If you're not, give us a call and let us know how you feel about it. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.